All right. So I want to, I really want to prepare you as best as I possibly can for 2 weeks from now. Now, when I say that, we all know this. In our day, the grace of God is on us all the time. So you can have Pentecost Sunday today. Amen? Amen. Amen. But there are people out there that love to know what's coming and begin to build an expectation of it. Okay? This just pops in my mind right now, but when I was a little boy, I loved the county fair. Anybody have a county fair that you like to go to? Well, that was three of us, okay? Hallelujah. Well, if you lived in Akron, it was a big deal, man, I'll tell you what. So as I was a little boy growing up, I'll never forget, I got old enough to mow lawns. And when I got old enough to mow lawns, I came to the place that I made my own money to go to the rodeo. And when I hit the $5 mark, I mean, I had mowed a lot of lawns for $5. But you all know back in the time that, well, probably the end of the 50s, you're talking about a lot of dough. Amen. So I remember just planning it out, all my rides, all my refreshments and everything, and all that Dad was going to buy me. And I thought, well, I'm in good shape here. And I guarantee you it's more fun when you have great expectation, isn't it? It just is, because you have a plan, and lots of times it's just a fun day or fun time when you've been expecting it to come. Amen. So that was the case with Jesus as he came with his disciples through the resurrection. He appeared to many of his disciples, and at one time 500 people. So he was teaching people. He was commanding them what they needed to be doing after he went to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And so about 40 days, it says in Acts chapter 1, after he'd appeared to people for about 40 days. So we don't know that was exactly 40 days, but about 40 days. Then he told his disciples, 120 of them, he said, now here's what I'd really like to see you do. You stay here in Jerusalem until what the Father promised is coming your way, is going to come to you. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and what? Holy Spirit and fire. Okay. And at that time then, if write it 40 days, or give or take a day or two, 10 days later, the Bible says it this way. The day of Pentecost had fully come, then the fireworks started. Amen? Hallelujah. And the church was birthed, and the earth has never been the same from that day. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I want to take you back to the first Pentecost. In fact, it was so much the first Pentecost that people didn't know it was the first Pentecost. Amen? So I want to talk to you about the children of Israel coming out from Egypt, and they traveled to. Now, that was the Passover, remember? Okay? So the Passover was what God told them to do so that they could get out of Egypt. How many know when you're a slave, getting out of anywhere is really good? Okay. So here's all these people, 2 million men, probably 600,000 men, probably at least 3 or 4 million people, because they always had big families. So we all need to understand they are coming out of that slavery, but God doesn't want them to continue to be slaves. He wants them to be the head and not the tail. He wants them to be the leaders of the nation, so much so that the Bible says, God said to them, you shall be lenders and not borrowers. Well, one person knew what that meant, I guess. That means that you have more money than the people that are around you have. Can we do that again? Is that a good yay? Yeah, that's a good yay moment. When people are coming to you saying, I don't have any money, do you? I've got more than I'll ever know, need the rest of my life. I'll be glad to give you some. What do you need? Amen? Amen, 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 amen. So as God has got the plan for the people of God, he always does. He always has his plan. And if we follow the plan, we're going to get someplace, aren't we? Someplace we'd have never gotten any other way in our life. In fact, it might be something that has never been created prior to the moment you step into it. Okay? It's what happened to them can happen to you too. Amen? So I'm going to take you back to the book of Exodus, and I want to show you some things about this. I'm going to give you four keys to the harvest of Pentecost. Four keys. Very significant things had to take place before the children of Israel could get what they needed to get, and God could get them where they needed to be. So in Exodus chapter 3, I want to start there if I can ever get out of Genesis. There we go. Exodus chapter 3, and God is talking to Moses up on top of the mountain when Moses was a shepherd. And I want to, this isn't one of the points, but it should be. Amen. Moses, the Bible says, Moses was a shepherd for his father-in-law, and he saw a bush burning on Mount Sinai, and it caught his attention because the bush wasn't burning, although it was on fire. And the Bible says, and he turned aside to see this thing. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you or me or anybody else is ever going to get to God the way that we need to get to God is to turn aside and go see what it's all about. Amen? You just got to turn aside and say, well, I like the fair, but I think I've turned aside because I see a bush burning that isn't burning. Or one of your classmates, maybe, as you were growing up in high school, and back when I grew up in high school, you basically grew up with everybody, amen, that you knew from kindergarten all the way up to high school graduation. Had the same class. That's not the way it is now. Okay, we're way more mobile than that now, aren't we? So there's nothing bad about that. It's just totally different. But you might know somebody that you had a good relationship with, and you might know that they were not interested in Jesus. And then you run into them later on in life, and they are on fire for God. And if you'll turn aside and say, what happened to you? Or if you're the one that has, and all of you are, when you are dealing with people that you knew in the past, you can always be a light without saying a word. Because most people in any kind of a setting are not walking around with a big smile on their face unless they're semi-drunk. Amen. Or popping some stuff to smoke. Okay? So they have to be medicated because they have no joy. All right? Because down the line you'll realize, life is really not that awesome until Jesus shows up. But when he shows up, it gets awesome. So Moses gotten up to talk to God, and the Lord says something to him in verse 12 of Exodus 3. You don't have to go there. But here's what God said. Moses said a very, very common thing that all of us have said to God at some point when he told us he wanted us to do something. Here's what Moses said in the preceding verse, in verse 11. But Moses said to God, as God told him, you're going to go get everybody out of Egypt and bring them up here. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? And if you don't run into a who am I to do this in your life, you need to take a few more risks. Yeah. Okay. So I'll never forget in my life. Never forget as long as I live. I came to a little church in the smallest town in the world, amen, in eastern Colorado, where everybody's drinking beer and shooting rabbits, amen, and everything that the rabbits eat, or anything that eats the rabbits. Let's go shoot something, boys. Okay, so this, kind of a common thing. So I feel real comfortable being out in that group because they were all like me. Amen. I was like them. Hallelujah. And we had an old school building, and that old school building was breaking down. So we went to the guys, the city of Eckley owned it. We said, hey, we got some problems with this building. You need to fix this. We're not going to fix that whole thing. What are you talking about? Us. You're going to do it. Of course, they had a lease. And all the people said, don't put a dime in it. Don't put a dime. The people, meaning our church. Everybody said, don't do that, Pastor. Don't do that. And our board, of course, they were just going, what are we supposed to do? We got plaster falling down on us. So, the Lord, I'm praying about it. Everybody's praying about it. And the Lord said, you build a new building. Because obviously you can go into other buildings that are already built. He said, you build a new building. I said, Lord, you're talking about me building? I have to have people have a project day to just come help me do something. And then I can hold the umbrella. Are you doing okay down in there, Jerry? Do I need to go to the left? Do I need to go to the right? How am I doing, big boy? Amen. Whew. I'm good with screw guns, and then leave me alone. Hallelujah. So I'm thinking, who am I to be a part of building a church from the ground up? And you know what? That all just came together beautifully. Just all came together beautifully because there were lots of guys that were going, I'm licking my chops to do this. I can't wait, man. Oh, man. And it was a glorious time. One of the times that you would think would just be arduous in a lot of ways, and it was at times, but we had a ball doing it. Just had so many volunteers come out and help, women and men both. It was just a wonderful time for everybody to have a camaraderie you just don't get any other way. You know, working together is a great way to get to know people, because you find out who cuts corners and who doesn't. If you're a corner cutter, I'm all on your side. Amen. So at any rate, if you're at work with one another, it's a wonderful way to get to know people, isn't it? Amen. All right. So here's Moses. Who am I? And God's going to do something. This is our first key. God's going to say this. He's going to say, all right, so you don't think you're good enough for this. That's really not what he said. But here's what God said. Certainly, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. So now Moses has brought them out of Egypt to the mountain. They got there. And that day is the day that the priests and the rabbis in Israel will tell you that was the day of the first Pentecost. They got there on Pentecost. Because we know that's 50 days after the Passover. So that's when they got there. And when they got there, God had a very interesting thing to say. And I'm going to have to go kind of quick to get through this. He said, excuse me, I'll back up. The key is this. You got to have a promise from God to have any faith to do anything in the kingdom of God. There are so many people that get messed up in their prayer life because they don't understand it. It's not hard. It's not hard to understand at all. But you have to study a little bit about prayer to understand what needs to be prayed and what you can't pray for. What do you mean you can't pray for? Here's what you can't pray for. You can't pray for somebody else's spouse to be your spouse. We apparently are clear on that point. Amen. But I got something else. You can't pray for somebody that's not married and you're not married to be your spouse. There's another truth. Here's what you have to do. You can't pick them out and say, I claim them in Jesus' name. No, here's what you have to do. You have to do it this way. I got single people's attention right now. Amen. You have to ask God to send you the right person. That's how you pray for a spouse. Amen. Amen. The most recent marriage in the whole place. Testimony. Hallelujah. Gotta pray the right way. Too many people look at the outside and go, that's what I want right there. But you don't know what's on the inside of that person, and God does. Amen. God does. So you have to pray the right way about things. There's nothing in the Bible that ever says that you can impose your will over somebody else. But now hang on. Now hang on. But if you get God in the equation, He'll impose His will on them. Understand? Okay. So in this case, God had given them a promise. You guys are coming to Mount Sinai. You're going to be clear out of Egypt. Not only are you going to be clear out of Egypt, Egypt no longer has an army to bug you. So you are free, man. And that's where they came. They came to Sinai and they were free. So God's saying, I'm to Moses, he said, I'm promising you they're going to make it. And that's how you believe God. You can believe what he said is true. Okay? Make that, if there's anything you have to do in your prayer life, find a scripture. Find a scripture with what you are wanting to pray for in it. Okay? Find a scripture to pray. And when you get a scripture that you can tell the Lord, and tell him, he likes it. Tell him, now, Father, here's what you said about this sickness that I have in my body. Here's what you said. You put my sickness on Jesus, and the Bible says himself took our infirmities. Now watch this, and carried away our diseases. So you say, Father God, now you sent Jesus, and Jesus is designed. All that Jesus did is designed to take away sickness from us. But I'm going to have to pray my way that direction, because God says, In dealing with sickness and disease, he says for us to lay hands on the sick. He says for us to confess our sins one to another that we may be healed. He tells us a lot of other things that we can do in healing. In fact, if you want to know the truth with healing, he doesn't necessarily ever say pray for healing. He says lay hands on people. Don't have to pray. Just tell the disease to die. Okay, just say, no more of you. A promise of God has been spoken. Well, I tried that. Well, keep trying. Amen. Well, I've been standing for 10 years. Well, then stand for 11. Amen. 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 But I will tell you this, that once you have believed that God heard you when you're praying for anything, and you receive it. Now, I'm talking about something that's your need. If it's not your need, if you're praying for somebody else, it's a whole different thing. But when it's your need, when you believe that God has heard your prayer, and you receive the answer to that prayer, it's not going to take long, if it's sickness and disease, before it'll start to turn around. Okay, now, if it's money, it's a whole different deal, because God has to move on somebody else or some other thing to release the money. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. So with money, it can be lots longer, but it'll still come. Okay, it'll still come, but there's a little more time there. Not in sickness and disease. I mean, God can just start breathing on you. As soon as you say, I believe I receive, and he'll breathe on you, and that healing will start working in your body. Does that make sense? All right. I keep saying that. Does that make sense? Because, boy, some people get a lot of confusion in these kinds of things. So we have a promise that we have to follow to have faith to receive what God's got for us, even though in many cases, we don't know what that ultimately is. And boy, they didn't have any idea what this ultimately was on this day of Pentecost. Okay, so let me get over here and get to a real exciting part of the Bible. You ought to read it to your kids. If you got little kids, read this to them. They will love it. Chapter 19 of the book of Exodus talks about the people of Israel coming to Mount Sinai, and that God told them, here's what's going to happen, just like he did on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. He said, I'm going to come to you at a specific time, 3 days from now. I'm going to come down on our mountain, and I'm going to talk to you, and you guys are going to hear my voice. Okay? So he's getting them ready. And he's telling them several things in this section of Scripture. I'm not gonna read it. It's fun to read, though. And I'm going to read a real fun part. Hallelujah. So here's what happened. On the day, as he's getting them ready for the day, he's telling them this. He's saying, I'm coming down. I want you to wash your clothes and be clean. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of thoughts that you can come up with about why would God want them to have their clothes clean? Why would he want that? Why would that be to him something that was important? That's what he said. Yeah, you can come up with lots of ideas about that. It's just an amazing thing to say. And then he says he wants them to consecrate themselves. Consecrate and wash your clothes. Well, consecration is washing the inside, isn't it? Amen? If you consecrate yourself to something, you are putting it in focus, and you are getting yourself in a place that you're ready, or hopefully as ready as you can be, for what's about to come. Okay? So we are in, this is the second key, we are in something that God required called preparation. Preparation. Gave him 3 days to prepare before he showed up. In the New Testament, he gave them 10 days or something thereabout. He gave them room to prepare. Now, I did a little math about the 10 days that they tarried in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us exactly what they did. The 120 all came together in the upper room. And they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Continually devoting themselves to prayer. Now, if they prayed for 10 days, because the Bible says they continually devoted themselves to prayer, if they prayed 24/7, and nobody in here would believe that they did, that would be 28,000 hours of prayer cumulatively. I think they probably prayed half of the day. So that's 14,400 hours of prayer cumulatively. Everybody get that? Does it mean anything to you at all? That's a lot of prayer. 14,400 hours of prayer? Wow! Now, I just want to throw this in front of you. If there's anything that Jesus taught about prayer, it was this. He taught persevering prayer. He never taught long prayer. Isn't that interesting? He taught persevering prayer. So here's what he taught. You get your clean hands on that thing that you're praying about, and you don't stop until you've got that thing on the way and you know it. You're going to know it on the inside. Okay? Grab it and stay right with it. Stay right with it. Somebody might say, well, that's going to take some time. Yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. But over on the other side of this, Jesus also told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, you couldn't even pray with me for 1 hour. And he went back and said the same thing. If he said the same thing and it took him an hour to say it before, it took him an hour again. And then he went back a third time and said the same thing. The Bible said, what's he doing? He is practicing what he preached. He took this whole horrible problem of, I don't know if we can redeem people without me dying. I don't know if we can, Father. You know, but I don't know if we can do that with this without me paying the price that I'm required to pay right now. I don't know if there's any other way that we can get around this. And after 3 hours of praying about the same thing, he got off the ground and said, got it. Can't be done. I've got to make the sacrifice. Okay? So, preparation, and in that preparation, perseverance. Perseverance in it. Persevering. I always love the ministry of the pastor of the biggest church in the world, has been the biggest church in the world since, clear back in the 70s. Right now, it's in Seoul, Korea. Dr. Cho is the pastor there. And Dr. Cho pastors, I think it is, 750,000 people. That's the last number I heard. 750,000 people. Okay. Here's what he said. He does ministers' conferences all the time. People flying in, preachers flying in to want to figure out how did he do this. And he'll always tell them this. He'll always say, it begins with prayer. And Americans will always say, yeah, yeah, we know that. And he said, and you must pray 1 hour. At 1 hour, something happened in prayer. And the Americans go, can I shoot it down to 10 minutes? Can we get the same results at 10 minutes? No. No. You have to persevere. You have to. Perseverance means you are on to something and you are going to pursue it until you get it. Pursue it until you get it. Do you know that the world can persevere and get what they want? The problem is what they want is not what they want after they get it. Because after they get it, it's deceived them. And all that they thought came with it wasn't there. And then they find out that Jesus told the truth. So perseverance in the things of God, such a powerful thing. Okay? So they persevered in their preparation, and when the day came, oh, Jesus, glory to God, it was worth it. Amen? So Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. after this. Came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. He's bigger than I thought, honey. Whole darn mountain's shaking. How big is he? Gee, my knees. So here we go. Whole mountain's quaking. Watch this. Violently. It's all up in smoke because of the Lord descended upon it in fire. They got fire coming down from heaven. Sound familiar? The fire came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost in Jesus' day. Okay? Fire came down from heaven, and they were going to meet with God. Glory to God. Same exact same thing, just a little less spectacular. Not much, though. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. That's why my wife loves thunder. Amen. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Okay? So Moses is going up the hill now, and everybody's going, not a good time to leave us, Moses. This is scary. Well, to make a long story short, God began speaking to them, and he spoke to them in a voice that you could hear just like you're listening to me right now. Okay? They could hear his voice. It wasn't just thundering, but they could hear the words of his voice. And he speaks to them all about his commandments, his social interactions. He's going to go through all of that for the next couple of pages. Okay? Then, oh boy, then he comes up with something that they have never heard of. And God is going to tell them how to build a place that he'll come live in and go with them wherever they go.
Glory to God.
Ooh!
Hallelujah.
Wow! See, you and I should be used to having God with us all the time. God with us all the time. We were praying today before the service. Anybody wants to come, you can come at 9 o'clock and pray with us back in my office. And as we were praying, we were just praying out the fact that we need to not just come fellowship with God on Sunday. We need to do that all the time because he's in us. He's in us. And you need to talk to him like he is with you. I cannot tell you how many times I drive my car and I say, Jesus, go ahead, sit down here. Got a long ways to go. I'm just going to talk to you. And I do. I just talk. There's nobody else around me. If there was, I wouldn't really care. Amen. Unless it was Jocelyn. She wants to do the talking. I'm sorry. I like that. Amen. I like it. I don't have to talk. She can. So I just start talking to him. What do you think about those guys over there? Huh? What do you think about baseball in general? He'll tell you. He'll tell you. It's a fun way to live. Okay? It's a fun way to live. So now he's gonna lay out exactly what he lives in heaven. He lays it out and said, okay, now we're going to put a mini version together down here. Okay? Now, mine is colossal in heaven. But we're going to give you a mini version because we're going to have to pick this thing up and we're going to have to travel up to the promised land. Okay? So, you know what they had to do now? Now, boy, this is a big deal. This is a big key. They have to pursue. They have to pursue what God is telling them to do. You can have all the rest. You can have the promise. You can have the preparation. You can have the perseverance. Let me tell you, if you don't pursue it, if you don't pursue it, it's just a thought. But when you pursue it, and when you begin to build it, for heaven's sake, and you and everything comes together and you get it done, then, my friend, you're going to get what they got. You're going to get the cloud by day and the fire by night. You're going to have God moving with them, and the enemies that are looming before them, their hearts are melting. Their hearts are melting because they can feel the power of God, just like the Israeli people did. They felt that power, and their knees started knocking. Well, that's what was going to happen to the enemies of Israel. A cloud by day, a fire by night, and a terrifying awareness that you didn't have a God that had either one. No way, nowhere. And if you had the biggest wall in the entire world like Jericho did, you better get ready because that wall is coming down. Amen. So I encourage you. This is just a fabulous time in the church because the harvest comes in. Now, I need to end with this, okay? The people messed up. God called Moses to come up on the mountain so he could write down everything that he wrote the people, okay? Well, part of it on the tablets that are the Ten Commandments is what we call them. God wrote that with his own finger.
Amen.
How many of you... would think that's kind of valuable. Yeah. Well, when Moses came down off the mountain 40 days later, he found out the people had gotten bored. So they threw a party. Moses' own brother Aaron was part of the party, the decorators. And he wanted to decorate with a golden calf, so they would have something to worship. And he made that calf. And so all the people are partying and bad things are happening. So when Moses goes down there, he is ticked off. And he throws the tablets down off the mountain, breaks them. Okay? And when he did that, you and I need to know that he was the only hope the people had that were down there partying. He was their only hope because he's the only one that could stop God from doing what God wanted to do, and that was just wipe them out. You can read it. You can read it with your own eyes. God said, I got a thought. These people, I want these people to be my people. But when they act like that, I don't want them as my people at all. And Moses said, well, if you don't, just take me out of your book. Could you do that? Take me out of your book and I'll go to hell with them? I'm not there. I am not there. I'm sorry. I'm not. And Moses said, just get rid of me too. And then he went on and did something else. He said, what are the Egyptians going to say about this one? And the Lord said, okay, I won't do that. He didn't want to do it in the beginning. Thank God for an intercessor on the earth, standing in the gap. Okay? So as they get to that place where now God is going to forgive them, there was a little interval. And Moses said, okay, we're going to figure this out. Everybody for the Lord, come up on the mountain here where I am. Come up. And you know who came up? All of the people in his tribe. It says all the men from Levi came up to him. He said to each one of them, get your weapons, and you go kill every one of the people that you can find. All the men, kill them all. So that day they killed 3,000 men because they had sinned against God. All right? On the day of Pentecost, this is so fascinating. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter told the people, as they were listening to all these guys speaking in the native tongues of people from all over the world, and those people are going, how in the world are they speaking our language? And to be honest with you, they may not have been speaking that language, because the Bible said we hear them speaking in our language. So they may not have been speaking in it at all. But the Lord translated it for them in their own language. Okay? So just hang on. So here we have all these people saying, what is this? And some of them said they're drunk. And Peter probably remembered back, I wish I had a sword. Yeah, I'm going to find another ear or two. Here I come. Amen. But he didn't. He said this. When all the people said, what should we do? What should we do? We've killed the Savior. And so he told them, repent, repent, and believe in the gospel. And the Bible says about 3,000 people got saved that day.
Amen.
Here's what I want to tell you. There are two covenants in the Bible. One is a covenant of sin and death. That's the first two-thirds of your Bible. If you want to find out who God is in our covenant, which is the last third of the Bible, you're going to have to read our part of the Bible. Our part of the Bible is the New Testament. The Old Testament shows you the whole process of sin and death and sin and death, and sin, and death, and sin, and death. But once Jesus came to the earth and showed people who God really is, and he wiped away our sin. You and I cannot understand that. We have to take it by faith. Everybody in the world has to take this by faith. But if we will believe it, the whole sin and death cycle turns to no sin and life. Like you've never had it before. Now it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now you have a whole different aspect of God and the way he operates, because he had to operate in sin and death. He couldn't obliterate his own law, but his son could bring all of the sin of the world on top of him who knew no sin, and it wasn't justice for him to stay under that curse. And because he couldn't, by the justice of God, stay under that curse, after 3 days he came up out of that grave And everything changed. Everything changed. Now there is not a law of sin and death. There is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now people say, oh, I'll tell you what, God killed all those people. No, he didn't. That law's gone. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
That law is gone. They changed the law. God changed the law. He could change the law when a perfect Jesus took our imperfectness from us. Okay? Oh, man, it's just such a great concept. And now, oh, my, now we can take that very same worship. That worship construction that the children of Israel did, we can take it all and pray it through, just like they had to walk it through. Pray it through like they walk it through. And that's another sermon. Father, we just thank you today. Glory to God. Oh, Father, Jesus on the in every way, took that which is against you, Father, that which is just horrific to you, things that you created hell to swallow up. Oh, Lord, took all those things away if we'll just believe. We can't do anything to get good enough to be in the class that Jesus is in. But if we believe what he did, God's going to let us in on credit. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you today. Oh, my, 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 my. We thank you today, Father, for your power, your righteousness, your justice, and all the great things that cause you to be who you are. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, hallelujah. As we were praying, I was just sensing that there's at least some single person, if not more than just one. But I know there's somebody here that is needing Jesus in their life. Hallelujah. And maybe you've had him in your life. And you've drifted away, and you need to come back. Man, that's coming back is a great thing. He'll always welcome you open-armed, always. He won't meet you with a list saying, now you got to do this, 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 this. He's just gonna be like the father of the prodigal son. He's going to run out there and put a robe on your back and a ring on your finger and say, you're back home. I couldn't be more delighted. Hallelujah. If that's you today, or if you have never given your heart to Jesus, I want you to just lift your hand really quick. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Okay, I see those three. Anybody else? Anybody else at all? Hallelujah. All right. You can all look up at me. Some things that we would love you if you haven't gotten these little booklets. We have some little booklets. They're free, and we want to get one to you. So if you're one of those people that lifted your hand, just ask Tammy or ask Jocelyn about those books, and we'll get you one, or we'll get you more if you need it. Amen. Come on up, honey. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You've been sitting for a while. Hallelujah. And all the young folks pop up and all the old folks go in stages. I remember when I was in high school, my dad get out of his favorite chair and he'd get up in stages. And I go, Dad, that just looks awful, man. And now I'm getting up out of my chair in stages. Wow. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. You are good, God. We love you, Lord, so much today. We thank you for these three, Father, that have lifted their hands. And, Lord, they want to be closer to you than they've ever been in their life. And, Father, we thank you that this is a time of all times to be able to get a brand new start as we come into this time of Pentecost. And, Lord, we thank you for every person in the building, every person here. They are blessed going out and blessed coming in. They are blessed in their finances, blessed in their relationships. They are blessed in their businesses. They are blessed in all that they put their hands to, and they will prosper and be in health even as their souls prosper. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody that agreed said amen. Amen. If you want prayer, you can come down. We will pray with you down here. Otherwise, you are dismissed unless Jocelyn has some time.